read verse 14. This is a verse that we referred to, I believe, last week. We want to preach upon it this morning. Psalm 48, verse 14. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. The 48th Psalm is a psalm that celebrates God's deliverance of Jerusalem. God, of course, is the main subject of the psalm. The name God appears 8 times. The name Lord appears 2 times. He's referred to as the great king 1 time, the Lord of hosts 1 time. In addition, there are 9 pronouns referring to him: his, thou, thy, he. 14 verses, 21 references to God. In the psalm, we read in verse 1 of his holiness. We read in verse 3 that he is a refuge. We read of his works in verse 7, of his loving kindness in verse 9. We read in verse 10 that his right hand is full of righteousness. And we read of his judgments in verse 11. Verse 14, our text, we see that he is our guide. But the theme of the psalm is established in its first words: great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. It is a psalm of the greatness of God, and praising God for such, and rejoicing in such. Now, coming to our text, in verse 14, for this God, the God presented in the psalm, for this God is, right now, continually, our God. What wonderful words. This God is our God. Forever and ever. And that'll be our subject. This God is our God. This God. Those are the words we want to remember throughout the day, throughout the week. This God is our God. I have no outline, it's about to kill me, but I don't. But this God is our God. Now you think about this God. He's a great God. That's what is said in the first few words. Great is the Lord. Greatness is ascribed to him all through the Word of God. His greatness has to do with his uniqueness. God is unique to anything else. And that's why we're always on dangerous ground when you make a comparison between God and something else. God is unique. There's none like him. It states the fact, the greatness of God states the fact that God is unequaled. God is incomparable. God has no rival. He's unrivaled. He's unsurpassed. You see, the common spiritual disease of all humanity causes man to want to reduce God to a manageable size. No one is more guilty of that than the religious world. They try to take the God of the Bible and reduce Him down to where we can understand Him. Reduce Him down to a manageable size. They try to reduce Him so that He is a God that can be flattered, a God that can be bribed, a God that you can enter into a deal with. They try to reduce God so that they can fit God into their plans and schemes. Instead of God being the God of all, they try to fit Him in to their lives. In order to do that, you have to reduce God. You have to reduce the greatness of God. They so reduce God that they make His commands and threats to be empty. They want to reduce God so His commands and His threats mean nothing. Reduce Him so that He becomes the subject of the whims of man. But it is asked in Psalm 77, in verse 13, who is so great as our God? And it is declared in Psalm 95, in verse 3, for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Psalm 145, verse 3, great is the Lord. His greatness is unsearchable. The greatness of God. The greatness of God means that God reigns supreme. That He is the sovereign monarch. People have a problem with that. The religious world has a problem with a sovereign God. They have a problem with a God that rules and reigns, does as He pleases. They have a great problem with such a truth. But the greatness of God means that He is the absolute authority. It means that He is above all. He's over all. He possesses absolute dominion over all. He rules. There's no place He doesn't. He's in control. There's no place that He isn't. He manages. He directs. He guides. He governs all things. So the greatness of God means that He exercises dominion and He is absolute sovereign in every realm. And He does this according to His purpose, according to His pleasure. And His purpose and pleasure cannot be thwarted by man. Psalm 103, verse 19, the Lord hath prepared His thrones in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Come what may, His throne is prepared, fixed. It is set, it is established, it is secure. We read in Ephesians 1, verse 11, who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. This God presented in this book rules. He's in control of all things. He governs all things as it pleases Him. Isaiah 66, verse 1. The heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What a picture. What a picture. It is a picture of the vastness, the immensity, the greatness of God. It is an illustration that God is beyond measurement. It is an illustration that God is beyond comprehension. The heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. It speaks of the unsearchable greatness of God. So our text says, this God is our God. That means He is the one who sustains. He is the one who watches over me. He is the one who provides for me. And He is more immense and superior to whatever problems, to whatever trials, to whatever difficulties, to whatever needs may come into my life. This God is our God. There is nothing that can come into my life comparable to the greatness of God. So what wonderful words. This God is our God. Also, this God, He declared in Genesis 17, verse 1, I am the Almighty. I am the God of all might. I am the one who has all might. God's power, God's might is not derived from anywhere else. God's power is Himself. And God's power is as great as Himself. This God, who spoke the universe into existence, is an able God. You read Genesis 1, and He said, and it was so. And He said, and it was so. Over and over, and He said, and it was so. He is the creator of all things, whether they be visible or invisible. He is the creator of all energy, every form of energy, every form of matter. He is the creator of the speed of light. He is the creator of the nuclear structure. He is the creator of electromagnetism. He is the creator of gravity. He is the creator of every law by which nature operates. And He did it all by just speaking. And this God is our God. And we hear Him say, I am the Almighty. This God who parted the Red Sea, caused the children of Israel to cross over on dry ground, is our God. The God who fed Israel in the wilderness in a miraculous way. He is our God. The God who sweetened the bitter waters at Marah. He is our God. The God who brought down the walls of Jericho. He is our God. The God who gave Gideon and his 300 men victory. He is our God. The God who enabled David to defeat Goliath. He is our God. The God who gave victory to Elijah on Mount Carmel. He is our God. The God who created, who extended or increased the widow's oil. He is our God. The God who was with the three Hebrews in the fiery furnace. He is our God. The God who shut the mouths of the lions for Daniel. He is our God. The God who gave life to a bunch of dry, scattered bones. He is our God. The God who fed over 5,000 with a few loaves and a few fishes. He is our God. The God who calmed the storm. He is our God. And on and on and on we can go. This God, He is our God. That ought to bless our hearts. And He sustains me. And He watches over me and He provides for me. And He excels and He's more immense. He's superior to whatever problems, whatever trials, whatever difficulties, whatever needs that can come into my life. There is nothing that can come into my life comparable to the almightiness of God. Nothing that can overshadow. I am the Almighty. You and I, we may be helpless, but He's not. We may be weak, but He's not. He is an always able God. We read here in our text, this God is our God. The God who excels all. The God who reigns supreme in every realm. The God who is almighty. He is also all-knowing. He knows all. And He is able. The knowledge of God is perfect. It's infallible. There's nothing incomplete. Our knowledge is always incomplete. There is nothing incomplete about His knowledge. His knowledge is distinct. He knows all things very clearly. The knowledge of God is independent. That is, He does not derive His knowledge from information outside of Himself. Notice in Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 13. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor, hath taught Him? With whom took He counsel? And who instructed Him and taught Him in the path of judgment and taught Him knowledge and showed to Him the way of understanding? God knows because He's God. God knows all things because He's God. He does not receive His knowledge from anything outside of Himself. His knowledge is infinite. His knowledge is perfect. His knowledge is perpetual. He knows all things. Again, as we've said many times, He knows everything that you have done. He knows everything that you will do. And He knows what you would have done had He not restrained you. There is nothing that God does not know. There's no problem with God. There's no problem that comes into our life that He does not know about and that He does not have an answer for. Whatever our circumstances, whatever our trials, whatever our difficulties, He knows. And He's our God. This God is our God. Trust Him. This God. Go through the Word of God. It tells all about God. This God is our God. Trust Him. Believe Him. Well, why should I believe God over man? He's God. His knowledge is perfect. You need no other reason. You need no other reason to trust Him. He's God. Follow Him. Why? He's God. Pray to Him. Not to change His will. Why would you want to change the perfect will of God? You think your will is better than God's? You pray to Him to seek His will, not to change His will. He's God. Seek Him. Seek Him. Notice, this verse just came to mind. Hopefully I got it right. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. Verse 12. Notice the last part of that verse. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon Thee. He's God. That's where our eyes need to be. You may not have a clue what to do. You turn your eyes to God. You keep your eyes upon God. This God is our God. This God is all sufficient. In a world that is a spiritual wasteland, in a world of emptiness and desolation, He is all. He is all. He's unfailing. He's inexhaustible. We read in John chapter 1, I believe it's verse 14, of His fullness have we all received. And yet He's no less full. His fullness is inexhaustible. He's the owner. He's the dispenser of all things. And He is our God. And how many times in our life has He proven to you and I that He is everything? He is everything. How many times has He proved in our life that He is greater than any problem, greater than any need, and He is our God. In all that we have, and everything that we'll ever need, comes from Him. It all comes from Him. I mean, what we're experiencing right now, this pandemic, is a testimony how easily God can bring the world to a standstill. And it could be a lot worse. But it just shows how easy God can just bring everybody's life. It's no problem with God. In this world, it's marked by death and darkness, and unrighteousness, spiritual thirst, brokenness, and sickness, and disease. desperation, helplessness, hopelessness. The world is marked by weakness. The world is marked by distress and sorrow and anguish and fear and defeat. But this God that is our God, in Him is life. In Him is light. In Him is righteousness and refreshment. In Him is everything you need. He is an all-sufficient God, and He's our God. This God, the God described in the Word of God, is gracious. He's merciful. He's long-suffering. He's caring. And He's accessible. He's accessible. This God. President Trump is not accessible to you and I. But this God is accessible to you and I. Draw near to Him. This God, who is our God, is accessible. Draw near. This God, He excels all. He reigns supreme in every realm. He's almighty. He's all-knowing. He's all-sufficient. He's gracious. He's merciful. He's long-suffering. He's caring. He's accessible. And He's immutable. He's immutable. He does not change. There's change all around us, especially in this time. Climate changes. Nations change. Science changes. Medical science changes. Politics change. Economics change. Education changes. Philosophies change. People change. Families change. Relationships change. Churches change. And as we now experience, life is filled with change. But in the midst of it all is this God. And He does not change. He is the same. Everywhere we go in this world, there are the sifting sands of change. But in the midst of it all is this God. Our God. And He does not change. All around us is upheaval. All around us is insecurity. But because of this God, there is a solid rock upon which you can stand. There is an immovable anchor. There is a foundation upon which you can build. And it's this God. And He is our God. Build upon Him. Build your life upon an immovable, immutable God. This God is our God. This God who excels all, who reigns supreme in every realm, who's almighty, who's all-knowing, who's all-sufficient, who's gracious, merciful, long-suffering, caring, and accessible, and immutable. He is everywhere present. There is nothing more present than God. Nothing. He is who He is. That's always so. And He is present as who He is. He's not present as who He isn't. He's present as who He is. Psalm 139, verse 8, we hear David say, "If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there." Twice he uses that three-word phrase, "Thou art there. Thou art there." And wherever my there is, wherever your there is, He's there. And He's there as God. And He's there as our God. This God is our God. Not only is He present, but He's relevant to my life. This God is our God. Those two words, "our God," speak of His relevancy to ourselves. This God, He is strength, He is a rock, He is a fortress, He is a buckler, He is a deliverer, He is a high tower, He is a refuge, He is a stay. And I can say with the psalmist in Psalm 18, "He is my strength. He is my rock." He's not just a rock. He's my rock. He's not just a fortress. He's my fortress. Not just a buckler. He's my buckler. Not just a deliverer, but my deliverer. Not just a high tower, but my high tower. Not just a refuge, but my refuge. Not just a stay, but my stay. This God is our God. And whatever our situation might be in life, He's still a hiding place from the wind. He still is. He's still the coverlet from the tempest. He's still the rivers of water in a dry place. He's still the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. He still gives power to the faint. He's still the God who will hold your hand. And He's still the God who will carry you. He's still the God who will shepherd you. He's still the God who has green pastures and still waters and who can restore your soul and lead you in paths of righteousness and walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death and comfort you and spread a table before you and anoint you and fill your cup till it runs over. This God is our God. What wonderful words. And again, you open this book and you read wonderful things, glorious things about God. When you do, at the end of it all, put Psalm 48:14. This God is our God. This God is our God. You and I that know this God, we have a knowledge of this God. It's incomplete. But what I know I like, what I know I rejoice in, And this God, we know He's our God. Do you know that today? Do you know that this God is your God? And if we know that, and it seems to me that we can rise above anything. This God is our God. We can rise above the distress. We can rise above the fear that floods the souls of men. This God is our God. Believe Him. Believe Him. If He says it, believe it. Well, I can't explain. You don't have to. Well, it don't make sense. It doesn't have to. Believe it. Trust Him. Depend upon Him. Lean upon Him. Lean upon Him. Again, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. He fills all. That means no matter where I am, I can lean upon Him. Walk with Him. Every day you can walk with this God. Go with Him. Talk with Him. Talk with Him. Always be communicating. Always be listening to this God. Cast all upon Him. This God is our God. Again, every time you open this book, every time you read of God, every time truth is presented concerning God, that these words would come to our hearts and our minds, this God is our God. We that know this, we that are certain of this, this truth ought to dictate our life. It ought to dictate our thoughts. It ought to dictate who we are, how we act, how we live. This God is our God. Whatever comes of this pandemic, I heard someone say yesterday, it's got to get better. No, it doesn't. Who told you that? Doesn't have to get better. Will it? I don't know. I know the one who does. Amen. This God is our God. Oh, things can get a lot worse. And we see how quickly it can happen. This God is our God. I've always believed that here we are in the last days, leading up to the tribulation period, the reign of the Antichrist. We'll be gone, but everything's leading to that point. During the tribulation period, there will be a one world government, basically. Who would have thunk that a whole world can just kind of slide into it? That's where we are today. I mean, there don't have to be an overthrow. Everybody just kind of slides into it. The times demand it. It's scary. But this God is our God. He's our God. We ought to rejoice. in that wonderful, wonderful truth today? Do you know Him? Do you know this God? Do you know Him? Do you know that He's your God? Is He relevant to your life? Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer. We'll not close in a song, but do pray for one another. We keep expressing that. There's a lot of people who are greatly affected in adverse ways. Again, I think of those who can't visit their loved ones in nursing homes. I think of those in nursing homes not understanding what's going on. So many things. I think of people who have mental health issues. This certainly don't help. You can just go on and on and on. We need to be in much prayer. Much prayer to this God who has everything in control. Be in prayer for one another, because I believe every one of us is struggling with this to some degree, in some way. It's not pleasant. So we need to pray for one another. I think of the Lord's churches that were struggling before this to keep the doors open. And what's going to happen to them. And again, the list just, it's almost endless. But do be in prayer for one another. Do remember Sister Theta in prayer. Garth, be in much prayer for them. We'll meet here again this evening. And again, if you can't come or don't feel comfortable in coming, pray for those who will meet here. And we that will meet here will pray for those who aren't here. Brother Mark Smith, would you dismiss us with a word of prayer?